Thank the Lord for
another opportunity to worship Him today.
Yes.
We thank the Lord for Brother Randall. I got to know Brother Randall. I knew Brother Randall all down through the years, but it has been a blessing. You've been a blessing to me, Brother Randall,
Amen.
And you've been a support and
yes.
an example. And I thank the Lord for that. I've come to appreciate you much more.
Amen.
I appreciated you before, but I come to appreciate you much more since I've been here, and I thank the Lord for that. I know the Lord sent me. It wasn't here that I did it by chance, and it wasn't that I came here because I wanted a change of venue, a change of pace. That wasn't it at all. The Lord told us to come, and we were endeavoring, by the grace of God, to be obedient to Him. Because ultimately, that's what really matters. It really doesn't matter what you want to do. You're going to have to stand before the Lord. You're going to have to give an account of what you've done, whether or not you've been obedient to the Lord. And not all of us are going to have to do that. And so there are some times that the Lord requires you to do something that seems to be quite dramatic to other people. But if this has been your lifestyle all along, that you've followed the Lord's dealings, it's not so dramatic to you. And so I want to encourage us that way. When the Lord tells you to do something, do it. You can't go wrong. I've learned that. I've learned that if you live for the Lord and you put your everything into it, your life is a better life. This is the best life that you can live. There's no better life. And some folks want to say, well, you know, I want to do this, and then when I do this, then I'll really go out for the Lord. I had that mentality at the beginning of my experience to the Christian experience. There were certain things I wanted to do and certain things I wanted to become, and the Lord simply told me it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. He gave me that kind of spoke to me, literally. And as a result of that, I said, all right, I'm going to try what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to see if that works. And if it doesn't work, I can always go back to what I wanted to do. And it works. It's been working for almost 40 years. Isn't that wonderful? Thank the Lord. All right, we're going to, if you'll follow with me, I feel like the Lord's given us a thought this morning. There may be a lesson, more than a message. I don't know. Sometimes the Lord gives it to you that way, and then it ends up being something different. But let's go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and we want to talk about endeavoring to keep the unity. And so we want to go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and I want to start reading at the first verse. It says, I therefore, you can read it for us if you have it somewhere.
Prisoner of the Lord.
Prisoner of the Lord.
Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are.
All right, called. We talked a little bit about this morning, beseeching, or do you beg folks that are saints? Is it something that you do? Well, this is a beseeching, an urging, a begging, a reminding us. And I want you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, that's an interesting point because I think it's not that, well, vocation basically is a job. We have a responsibility and a job and whatnot. And it says walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. But we're not hired. We've been called by the Lord to do what we're doing, right? So it's a calling. This the life of Christ, the Christianity, living for the Lord is a calling. The Lord calls us and we respond to that call. I remember that one time I was talking to somebody and I was making some kind of transaction, and it was several years ago, and I was making some kind of transaction with him, and I said that you don't have to worry about me. I'm a minister, so you don't have to worry about me. I'm honest man, and I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. I'm a preacher. And he said, those are the worst kind.
Yeah.
She said that to me. And you know what? That was the time that it was back in the at the beginning of my ministry. I think it was all the time when all these big time ministers were falling. She said, those are the worst kind. Now, why was that? Because they gave Christianity a bad name. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, they are supposed to be a Christian. They're supposed to be saved. Well, you're supposed to be saved. Well, why are they saying that? They're saying that simply because that individual is not showing forth the life of Christ. So it says here, walk worthy. I'm begging you that you have a responsibility, not just a responsibility to the Lord, but you have a responsibility to the world. That the world looks on. We're epistles known and read of men. So the world looks on a Christian, and the world has to know, oh, this is what it looks like to be a Christian. In any situation that you're in, and any circumstance that you come to, the world needs to see, even when you're squeezed and you're in the vice, so to speak, they need to see that the only thing that comes out is not an accidental cuss word, but it's just the love of Christ that comes out. And the only way to do that is that you walk worthy, that you start, you take this serious, and I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes, and Lord, when things get tight and things get hard and things are pressing me sore, I want people to see Christ.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, it's easy for everybody to smile and everything to go just the way that it's supposed to go when everything is going the way that it's supposed to go. You can be a good Christian then, but let me tell you, the difficulty comes when things are going in complete opposition, when people are spitting in your face, when people are saying things about you, when you get your feelings hurt. And don't tell me there's no one in here that's never had their feelings hurt. I've had my feelings hurt. But let me tell you, we got what we got to do. We got to get over that by the help of the grace of God. So we walk worthy. He says, I, a prisoner of the Lord. He is in prison. He's talking about it. These people came against Paul and they bound him up and they threw him in the prison. Why isn't he upset at them? Why isn't he says that they got me in this prison and I can't do what I want to do. I can't be what I want to do. I can't go out there and work for the Lord. He understood the principle that all of these things work together for good to them that love God. So he's not a prisoner of the people that bound him. He's a prisoner of the Lord. The Lord did this. The Lord allowed these things to happen to me. The Lord allowed you to say those things that hurt my feelings, those things that are affecting me in a negative way. I am the prisoner of the Lord. I'm not your prisoner. So we overlook the middleman, so to speak. We go directly to what the Lord is allowing to happen in our lives, and he's going to pull it all together, and he's going to make it work for our good. All I have to do is love the Lord. I don't have to do anything else. I can love the Lord. I'm going to hold to him. I'm going to cling to him. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be what God would have me to be. And the Lord blesses us in that, doesn't he? All right, so he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm begging you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You've been called to do something for the Lord. So he says, I beg you to walk worthy of that vocation. Now, it says, with all lowliness
and meekness,
long suffering,
forbearing
one another,
in
love. Okay, I want to stop there for a moment because I want to deal with all of these things. These are very good lessons for us to get a hold of. He says here, with all lowliness and meekness. So the first response that I have to have is I have to be lowly and I have to be meek. What is the definition of lowly? Humble in manner or spirit, free from self-assertive pride. So you know what we say? You know what? They ain't gonna do that to me. Have you ever thought that? Oh, that ain't happening to me. We assert ourselves because we don't want to be taken advantage of. It's a natural tendency of mankind to say, I don't want to be taken advantage of. I don't want to be taken advantage of. That's a true statement. Nobody wants to be taken advantage of. But there are going to come some times in our spiritual experience that we will be taken advantage of. And somebody's going to do something to us that we don't like. So what he's telling us, this is what he's begging us, what the brother was saying this morning in Sunday school class, he says he's begging us, he's urging us, he's reminding us that your responsibility is to be like Jesus. When they spit in Jesus' face, when they talked about him, when they hit him, do you think he didn't have power to do anything? He had power to do something. Remember when they came and got him in the garden? What happened when they came and got him? He says, I'm he. And what did they do? They fell back. Just the power of that anointing, the power of his presence. It affected those individuals, right? So he had all the power that was given to him. And so he had to withdraw, if you'll allow me to use it in this term. He had to withdraw that power and pull it back to himself. So now he was humble. When they spit on him, he let them spit on him. When they mocked him, he let them mock him. He had the ability to do something about it, but he didn't assert himself. He didn't assert his power. One place it says that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, here's one thing about obedience. You cannot be obedient to someone that's on your same level. All right? So, in other words, there has to be a submission to an authority in order for there to be obedience. So he understood that it was the will of a higher authority, even though he and God were... he said in Philippians, find that scripture, third chapter, I think. He says, it thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He didn't just come in here and say, you know what, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He took on the form of a servant. So, and he submitted himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so all of this was part of the obedience of Christ, being able to allow somebody to talk about him, spit on him. He had to become lowly. And what is it? If he's going to do that, then that's our responsibility to do it too. It's not something we want to do. I don't want anybody spitting on me. It's going to take a whole lot for me to let somebody do that. I'm probably not that sanctified yet. But I can get there if it happens. I can get there. I'm not going to retaliate in some kind of way. I'm going to take my handkerchief out and I'm going to wipe it away and I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. But you know what? That's being lowly. It says here, With all lowliness and meekness. Now, one definition of meekness is having humility and authority. You can do something about it, but you're not. You choose not to do something about it. You choose to let people ride over you. And you know, this is not an easy thing for us to live. This is why he's got to beg us to do it. We say, well, you know what, I'm saved, but I'm not that saved. You know, sometimes I've heard some of the saints here say, you know, I got to go home. I heard something. I got to go home and get saved a little bit more. There are going to come some times in our experience that the Lord's going to show us something, and we got to get saved a little bit more. I've got to humble down a little bit more. I've got to be meek. I want to do something against this. I want to rise up. There's something in me, but the Lord can take that away. It's not just that I'm subduing it. Oh, you better be glad I'm saved. No. Have you heard somebody say that? Oh, you better be glad I'm saved. No, the person that better be glad, I'm glad I'm saved.
Yes.
I'm more glad I'm saved than you are.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. All right? So it says here.
It's Philippians 2 and 5.
Philippians 2. Okay, I said 3.
Let this mind be in you.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Being in the form of God.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
He made himself of no reputation.
Took upon him the form of a servant. All right. Not just someone in the hierarchy of man that's at the top, but at the very bottom, the very low thing that he had a choice to come in at whatever level he wanted to. And he chose the servant. And what's our choice? Our choice is a servant, too. That's what we have to do. You know, someone was getting on to me yesterday about mopping the floor at the place. Well, I'm a servant. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not above mopping the floor. I'm not above working. I'm not above cleaning the toilets. No. Oh, Brother Darrell, you're the pastor. So what? What difference does that make? In all lowliness and meekness. That's what, you know, what did Jesus do? Jesus led by example. What is our responsibility as the people of God? Our responsibility is to lead by example. That is not even the worst that we can do. May the Lord help us to be willing to do it. You know what? And there was one thing that I heard a message on tape, Brother Chairman. He said, sometimes we're not willing, but we can pray for the Lord to help us to be willing to be willing. So there are going to be some times that, no, I don't want to do this. And I've been there, Lord, you're going to have to help me. You know, one thing I don't like to do, I hate to travel. I don't like people, you know, my Lord put me with a woman that loves to travel. So anytime that I've got to go within 20 miles from home, I have almost a nervous breakdown because I don't want to go. And I promise, I was telling the folks this. I said in my mind, I'll never go to India because I don't want to be that far away from home, and I don't want to be in an airplane for 24 hours, and I've been there 15 times. The Lord does that. So what happens? You have to humble your heart. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you have to do it. And I have to travel all over the state of California. I want to go home. But all lowliness and meekness, you do what the Lord would have you do. Continue to read, please. Oh, did you finish that, Philippians?
Philippians
2. Yes. Is this okay?
Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery.
Not robbery to be God, equal with God.
But made himself of no reputation.
And took upon him the form of a servant.
And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man.
He humbled himself.
And became obedient unto death.
Even the death of the cross. You know what I believe the Lord did? In one sense, he emptied out his divinity to a great level. I want you to understand me when I say it. He did not use anything that was not available to us. So in other words, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He's not going to take on a reputation. And then what did he do? He emptied himself. And that's one of the things. He emptied himself. He became obedient unto death. So in other words, he said, if I'm going to be the perfect example, he's our example. The scripture tells us, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And what happens is he's going to be the perfect example. He has to have everything that's available to him. All those things are available to us as well.
Amen.
All right? So we have to have all. So he did that. He did that for you and he did that for me.
Yes.
All right. All right. So it says with all lowliness, back to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, you know what this is talking about. Now, he said all of this in the second verse for a reason. Long suffering. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace. Love, peace, all that. And long-suffering is that. Do you know that that's the only thing that's more difficult? We like love. We want everybody to love us, right? We want to have joy, but long-suffering, you know what that means? That means somebody's, you got to suffer for a long time. That means that there's somebody that's doing something or something that's happening in your life that you don't really want to happen, and it's causing suffering in your life. So what do we do as people of God? Long-suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the only way sometime that we, the only way generally speaking that we can have long-suffering is that we have to have it, we have to get it from the Lord. The Lord is the one that gives us the power to be long-suffering. Now, another one, it says, forbearing one another in love. Now, what does that mean? That means I'm going to put up with what you, I'm going to put up with your antics. You're going to put up with mine. That I'm going to have issues with you. All right? We're going to have issues with one another. So what we have here is, and we go endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I want to say that because I want to bring this up because it's talking about unity. When we talk about there is a unit, unity is basically there is a unit. So this congregation is a unit, right? Now, do you suppose we all have the same personality? No. Do you suppose that God put us together and there's not going to be any kind of friction that ever happens in our congregation? Think there are not going to be any? Okay, let me go a little farther here. I'm gonna go a little closer. It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. Why? Because we're of different age groups. We're of different backgrounds. I'm from a little town in Oklahoma. I'm a country boy by heart. Have been pushed into a big city, and don't like big cities. Like it when you know. And I grew up where the only traffic jam we would have is at the when the train went across the track. You got five or six cars stacked up. That's the kind of place that I grew up in. And so coming here and particularly here in Sacramento, the lights are so long. And everybody goes on the streets. I'm not used to that. All right? Well, you got all the... I'm going to get to the point. But the Lord takes this little country boy and puts him with a girl that grew up in L.A. And that's a unit, right?
Yeah.
And he put us together... from completely different backgrounds, country boy going out feeding hogs to a city girl who got everything she wants, mopeds and all these other kind of things. And I didn't have any of that kind of stuff, a little skateboard or whatever. He puts us together and we have to become a unit. Now, I'm not going to tell you all of our business, but there is no one in this world that I love more than this woman, right? But let me tell you, do you suppose that we didn't have to endeavor to keep the unity? You don't suppose that once you get a little older, you understand, oh, we ain't going to let that, she want to do it, let her do it. Do whatever you want to do. But when I was younger, it was like, well, you're trying to convince her and she's trying to convince you. It's not going to work, right? So at some point, somebody has to be humble, somebody has to forbear with one another, someone has to be long-suffering. Y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all have been married as well. So don't pretend that it just happened in my relationship, all right? Don't play like it's just happened to me, because I know it's happened to you as well, all right? So we're talking where we are. We're living where we are. You're going to have to endeavor. You're going to have to forbear with one another. She's had to forbear with me. I've had to forbear with her, right? Grew up with brothers and sisters, 11 boys and girls. And you know what? We had a boy's room and a girl's room. Nowadays, you know, my children, I have one boy and one girl. They never have to share a room. You know, they never have to share clothes. They never had to share a bed, but they never got along either, right? But here's the deal with us. I had to share a twin bed. I was at 1 foot and my brother was at the other. And we had all these bunk beds in our bedroom to take care of six boys, right? And so we all had, do you suppose that we never had any issues? Of course we had issues, all right? But you know, one of the things, you know what it says, and forbearing one another in love. So at some point you understand that this is the idiosyncrasies of this individual, and I'm just going to have to forbear with that. Oh, that's just so-and-so. That's just the way that they do things, and I'm going to love them anyway. I'm not going to try to change them. What I've learned over the years is you can't change anyone. It's hard to change yourself. And let me tell you, if you work on yourself long enough, you don't have time to work on. I had to learn that the hard way. You're Mr. Perfect. You do everything just right. No, you don't. But let me tell you, when you work on yourself, and you know why we want to work on other people? Because it's so hard to work on ourselves. It's so hard to look at the man in the mirror and determine that the man in the mirror is the problem. And there are sometimes the response and the reaction of the man in the mirror. I didn't do anything. Well, that's the reason she's upset, because you didn't do anything and you should have. Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes the responses of how the other person is not because of what you're doing, it may be what you're not doing. It may be not your actions, but it may be your inactions. So we've got to be careful about that, don't we? We have to ask the Lord. Now this is just, Lord, help us. This is just down home stuff that we've got to understand. I'm the problem. I'm the major problem. And I've learned that over the years that if I have an issue with a person, and let me tell you, if you have an issue with a lot of people and they're all saying the same thing, it ain't them, it's you. You're the problem. And you need to do something about it. You need to ask the Lord to help you, and the Lord will do it. So it says endeavoring. So first of all, before it says endeavoring, what does it say? It says with lowliness and meekness, long. These are hard words. These are difficult things that God is requiring of you, to be lowly and meek. You know, in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, it says, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. All right? So if there is contention in your relationship with whomever, then somebody has pride. Lord help us. So now he's going back to this and saying, with all lowliness. Now it's hard to be lowly and pride at the same time. They are mutually exclusive things, aren't they? Yeah. So if you're going to be lowly, you can't be proud. And so there are sometimes, well, I'm not going to let him just walk all over me. Well, why not? Lord help us. The Lord is saying, be lowly here. Well, you got to have wisdom, Brother Darrell. You got to have some. Well, you know, these are all rebuttals that I've had for myself. Well, you know, you just got to stand up for yourself. You got to be a man. Somebody got to wear the pants around here. You got to be a man. And then all of a sudden, the Lord tells you, no, you humble. You be lowly. Because there's something he's teaching you in it. There's something he's responding to you in. And there are some of us that have different personalities. All of us have different personalities. And you know, y'all have pretty well learned a lot about my personality. But there are some people that, and I had family members like this, that they didn't, if you said something, they always had a comeback. It wasn't like, you know, and it wasn't like, have you ever gone away? I said, I wish I had said such and such. When they said this, I wish I had said such and such. And I was, I had a sister, she's passed on, but she was one that was quick on with her tongue. And she had a nice warm temperature too. Temper. and she let you know how things were going, and she let you know pretty quickly. And she always had a comeback. You say something, you couldn't hardly go toe to toe with her. All right. You say something, she has something to say back to you. Just like that. It just came off the top of her. And so at some point you just say, you know what? Let her say what she's going to say. She's going to do that. And she don't let people know that. But she was one of my favorite sisters. We were very close. We were very close. And she passed away a couple of years ago. But we all have different personalities. Here's the point that I'm saying. We all have different personalities. And because of those, do you suppose that the Lord realized that we're going to have different personalities, and some of those personalities are going to clash?
Yes.
Some of those personalities are going to, there's going to be issues where an individual that speaks fast and then one that is slow to think and very methodical about what they're going to have some issues when they kind of go. You know, I remember one time we were at some place and my sister, she was one of the ones, I use her as an example quite often, and she's the center of attention, and I had a little somebody over in the corner that just kind of rolled their eyes. When she was in the middle of it, they rolled their eyes. They didn't know that I heard them, and they said, "Oh, I hate her." That's how they felt about it. They grew to love her later, but it was like, oh, she is always doing that. But you're going to have those kinds of things. And this is what it says, endeavoring to keep the unity. We are a unit here. You're going to have a personality. And there's going to be something about your personality that she doesn't like. So forbearing one another in love. That means putting up, I want to read a word, a definition. Politely or patiently restrain an impulse to do something. Politely. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now this is talking about, of course, I know this is talking about the saints in general, but it's talking about people also that have, you know, there may be people that don't believe exactly the way we believe, right? But they have the Spirit of God, all right? Lord help us. This is, now we're treading on some, we got to be very careful about it, but it's true. I heard it spoken about by Brother Chandler said, the only thing that breaks up, that breaks unity is sin. All right, so if I don't understand quite the way you understand, You don't understand quite the way I understand, but the one thing that we do agree on is I'm living holy. I'm endeavoring by the grace of God to live a righteous and a holy life, and I'm living to the level of my understanding that we have a unity of the Spirit. There's something about us that we are connected, right? We're connected one with the other. Now I'm going to have to forbear with you, and you're going to have to forbear with me, because there are going to be some things that I'm not going to do, or you're not going to do, or there are going to be some things that we have to work through by the help and the grace of God. Don't force me to do something that you think is that I should have liberty to do. And I'm not going to force you to do it either, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to respect where you are, and you must respect where I am as well, right? Because it's a very personal thing with you and the Lord, right?
Yes.
Very personal. But ultimately, if you're out there sinning and carousing and doing all these things that are not to be done, then let me tell you, I don't want you preaching to me.
Amen.
I don't want you standing up before me and trying to tell me that I've got all this liberty and all this whatever. I don't want to hear it, because I know what you're doing. We have a right to have holy men and women ministering to us and up in the leadership positions. That's our right. And when we lose that, we've lost it all. Then we just open ourselves up to whatever. So what do? Lord, help us. Help me to have discernment. Help you to have discernment. Help you to understand what God is requiring of you. And you live that kind of a life the way the Lord would have you to live it. You understand what I'm saying? All right. And so we endeavor to keep the unity. So that, what does endeavor mean? Endeavor means you're going to have to put forth some work. All right, so there are going to be things that happen in the unit. You know, there are various units. We have a unit as a husband and wife. That's one unit, a sacred unit that God says is as a church and as Christ in the church, a husband and a wife. Now, you suppose that there is anything that when we take the situation with a husband and a wife, and there is an endeavoring to keep the unity, to be unified, to stand strong one with another. Now we have Christ and the church, which is a type of the same union. Well, our union is a type of the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, do you suppose that there is going to be any issues? I'm going to do one of Brother Hadley's on you. Are there any issues between the church and Christ? There are. You know why? Because he is perfect.
Yes.
And there are things about him that he requires of his people.
Yes.
And he tells us that, you know, for a long time, it's okay for you to be doing this particular thing. And then the Lord puts his finger on it 10 years from now. And he says, you know what? It's time for you to change that. Well, Lord, I've been doing it like this all the time. What did he say to his disciples? He said, "One, I've got many things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them right now." And so at some point, the Lord is you're not able to bear some of the things, so the Lord's not going to touch those things. The scripture tells us in one place that for the men, and this is for us to get a hold of, to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Now, what does that mean? That means you know her. That's your job, your responsibility. You know her weaknesses. You know her strengths. You know what she doesn't like. You know what she does like. And you dwell with them according to knowledge. So in other words, there are going to be some things that you pull back on. And what do we want to do as men? We want to demand them. You're the wife. You submit to me. You do all of those things. Some women are not the submitting type. Now, I want to deal with the women on that. They're not. They're in leadership roles. They are better leaders than we are. And we have to understand that. And then you want them to submit to your who you are. And you're not the, you know, one sister. My wife was in a sister's meeting. She said, "We know that there are many women that are much smarter than their husbands." She was coming back telling me that. I don't know why she was telling me that. But she was, there are a lot of women that are smarter than their husbands. And she was giving them, was an older sister. But just telling them how to work with their husband, even if they're smarter than them. Let me take this. She got a wife that's smarter than her husband. And we know that's true. I'm going to be the first to say that. All right? We know that that's true. Then you know what? The men, it says in one place, submitting one to the other. I believe in Ephesians. So you know what? There are going to be times, you know, so you don't like the pink in the bathroom because you think it's too feminine and too girly. And you wanted to put some nice gray on the bathroom walls. Who's going to submit to who? Whose responsibility is it? It's my responsibility to get pink. So every time you go in the bathroom, it's pink. Or one of the blues that women, colors, fuchsia, or whatever you want to call it. You got 100 colors for blue. So it's submitting one to another. We have to submit one to the other. So there are going to be some times that I'm going to have to submit to my wife, even though I'm the leader. I'm going to have to, why? Because I'm endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And we, after a while, after 30-something years, you learn, or before then, I hope, you learn that, you know what, some things really don't matter. This is not the hill that I'm going to die on. It doesn't matter if it's pink, it's blue, a yellow, honey, whatever. And then you stop going, she tells you to go and get something, and you bring back a blue something, and she said, this is not blue, this is aqua. Well, what's the difference? So you know what I've learned? You learn, you go get it, and I'll just support you in getting it. I'll go with you, but I'm not, there are some things that I just don't do. I just will not do. She'll tell me, run and do something. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, why? Well, just get whatever. No, I'm not going to do that. You know why I'm not going to do it? Because I'm trying to keep the unity of the Spirit. Because the minute I go there and I get it and I bring it back, it's not the right color. It's not the right size. It's not. We understand that, don't we? So, Lord, help us. We endeavor. So we got to forbear one with another. I've got to put up with it. So I've learned, you know what? Baby, just to save time, you know, one thing I don't do, I don't get a rental car. We go to a rental lot. My wife is, she goes over with a fine tooth comb. You get the car, whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me. Lord help us. My daughter is looking at me like, yeah, that's right. My wife is looking at me like, stop. Stop telling all our business. Excuse me, but I'm not saying it to be funny, but I'm saying it for us to understand these are real life things.
Yes.
This is how we do it. This is how it. This is how it works. And if we allow the Lord I use real life things for you to understand, because you understand the real life things as well. I think the reason that it's a little humorous is because, yeah, that's happened to me. How many times? 100? Yeah, that happened to me too. Because this is the Word is living. It's alive. And when we take the Word of God and we utilize it, we apply it to our lives, and it changes us. And the Lord opens our understanding and gives us understanding of what we should and should not be doing. And that now I can take that and I can utilize that and I can use it in a better way sometime on in the future. May the Lord help us in that. All right. So it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. So in other words, we're not going to have a fight, and I'm not going to push you and make you submit to what my idea is. There are going to be some time I'm going to have to go with your idea, and I don't like your idea. And I'm going to have to say something that I don't like it, and I'm going to have to be quiet about it. And that's endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. What difference does it make what color what we choose? What difference does it make when you really think about it? What difference does it make? And so the Lord is saying, with all lowliness, with meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, you're going to have to put up with that individual. You're going to have to put up with them for a while, but the Lord's going to help you through it. You're just praying for yourself. Do you suppose if everything went your way, that you would be a good person? You would be a horrible person. If you got your way, how many of us like people that get their way, that demand that they have their way all the time? None of us like that kind of a person. That kind of a person doesn't even like themselves. Because ultimately, you're going to give them everything they want, and they're going to want something else. Lord, have mercy. All right, so let's go a little further. Galatians 6, verse 3.
Or if a man think himself to be something.
Man think himself to be something.
When he is nothing. He deceiveth himself.
Who is he deceiving? So it says, if a man think himself to be something. It did not say if he is nothing. You know, some of us think, these folks that are on the side of, you know, on the side of the road. You know, some of those people probably have higher degrees. The homeless people, they have higher degrees and have more much more extensive background, and maybe a lot of money, come from a lot of these. There are a lot of reasons that they're on the side of the road. There's a lot of reasons they're living under the bridge, but that doesn't make you better than them. It just, you can look at them and you can say, but by the grace of God, I would be in that same place.
Yes.
A lot of them have mental illnesses, don't they?
Yes.
There are problems that they're having, that they're going through. And what keeps you from having that? Mm-hmm. Nothing but the grace of God. Mm-hmm. All right? So it says, if a man think himself to be something, when in fact he is nothing, none of us are anything. And you know what I've learned, and again, we're talking about in lowliness and meekness, that we humble ourselves and submit ourselves. If we don't try to lift ourselves up, and what I've learned, that, you know, the higher you lift yourself up, the harder you fall when you fall. And a lot of people don't recover from it. So, you know, the best thing to do In any kind of a situation, the best thing to do is stay low on the ground. You can't fall when you land flat and prostrate. You can't fall. The Lord keeps us from falling. And you know why? How we're able to keep from falling? If you don't get up really high, you can't do it. The scripture tells us in a very, very plainly, he that humbleth himself, the Lord exalts. But he that exalts himself, he is brought down. So we have to understand, if I want to be exalted, the way for me to do it is to go down. And the way for me to do it is submit myself before the Lord and not even desire. And then what the Lord does, the Lord lifts you up, and maybe it lifts you up in the sight of the people or whatever it may be, but you're not doing it. The Lord is doing it. Your job is not to do it. Your job is to make certain that every time you see yourself getting puffed up, you knock yourself back down. He said, he that humbleth himself. So in other words, it gives us the right or the ability. I have the ability to humble myself. And we know when we start thinking we're something. You know, it's something about preachers that, I learned many, many years ago that, you know, sometimes you preach a good message and sometimes you have a dud. Isn't that right? You know, sometimes it doesn't go over so well. And you know what? I had to learn something. I had to learn, you know, when the message is really good and everybody's patting you on the back, it's the same as when it's really bad and nobody's saying it. You want to, and I don't get all upset about either one of them. And I don't get all puffed up about them. You know why? Because before you know it, the Lord's going to send one that's just going to fall flat. It ain't going to work the way that you thought it would. You got everything is all the same. But you know what? So I learned, don't let the Lord humble you. You humble yourself. You keep yourself humbled, and the Lord will exalt you if you need to be exalted. But I don't even have a desire to do that. That's not even in my vocabulary, spiritually speaking. I don't want, you know what? I want to be exalted in the sight of the Lord. I want the Lord to look at me and the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't care what everybody else says. Lord, help us. All right. So it says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, who does he deceive? Have you ever thought somebody, see somebody prancing around and you thought, oh, yeah. What do we say? Who do they think they are? They think they look all good in that or whatever. We've said those kinds of things, haven't we? And we understand that the only one that they're fooling is them. Mm-hmm. Have you ever said, you know what? If you saw yourself from the angle that I saw you, you wouldn't be looking like that. You wouldn't be feeling that you're all that. From this angle, it don't look so good. Lord, help us. He deceiveth himself. Not everybody else is around him, but he deceives himself. All right? All right, let's go to Romans 12, verse. Let's start at the first verse. And I thought about it like this. You know, what makes one person better than another? Your education? Who gave you the ability to be educated? Your beauty? Who gave you that beauty? All right? Your ability? Oh, you see somebody, we've all thought that this person thinks they're cute. Have you ever said that? Oh, they think they're cute. None of this you had anything to do with. None of it did you have anything to do with. Read, please.
I beseech you therefore, brethren,
talking about begging again, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies
a living
sacrifice,
holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed
by the renewing of your mind.
So our mind has to be renewed, doesn't it? Our mind has to be renewed, all right?
That you may prove
what is that good
and acceptable
and perfect will of God. So we have to ask the Lord, change the way that I think about these things. Change the way I think about lowliness. That the way, there's a song that the saints used to sing, that the way up is down. The way for us to get higher higher and closer to the Lord is to go low. No, there's a lot to say about humility, all right?
For I say,
through the grace given unto me,
to every man that is among you,
not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think,
but to think soberly,
according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right, so it says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, balanced. So what does that mean? Now, not that I have a low self-esteem. No, there are things that we have an ability to do. There are things that God has given us, and we're to think soberly. What does that mean? That means that there's a balanced way of thinking, that I don't think too highly of myself, nor do I think too lowly of myself. We've got to ask the Lord to help us in those kind of, to keep that balance, so that we're not either prancing around or we're not down in the dumps about who we are. God made us who we are. God allowed us to be who we are. God wants us to reach our potential and go a little bit higher. And our job is, Lord, help me to think soberly. Help me to think balanced about myself. Help me to think balanced about who I am in you and what your ability is and what you can do for me. All right, so it says, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the Lord's given you a measure. He's given me a measure. And when we look at that, the Lord will balance us out when we need to be balanced. And there are some of us that need to be balanced. No. There are all of us that need to be balanced.
Yes.
All of us. There's something about us that maybe we're too far to one side or too far to the other. And the Lord wants to give us a balanced view. A balanced view of ourselves. A balanced view of who we are and how we are. All right. Let's go a little farther. James, the 5th chapter, 16th verse. We dealt with this before. James, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. We preached a message on...
Confess your faults,
one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
So in other words, what it tells us is confess your faults one to another. So that means that you're going to have some things about you that you need to confess to somebody so they can pray for you. There are going to be things about our character, things about ourselves, that maybe something that happened in our childhood, some issue that I don't like. This, or I've dealt with women that don't like men because they were abused. They have a disdain, and I've met men that don't appreciate women because of how they were treated when they were a child. You've got to deal with that kind of thing, right? Maybe your mother abused you. Maybe there was someone else that abused you. Maybe whatever the issue was. And I've seen people that passed that abuse right on down simply because they have not dealt with it inside. All right. So you got to confess your faults. When you see that you don't have an appreciation for a woman or whatever it may be in the way that you should, then you can pray and you can ask the Lord, Lord, give me, this is an issue. And it can go all the way back to whenever, whatever time it is. And you pray, you get with somebody that can pray about it. And you ask the Lord, Lord, confess that fault. This is something. It's not on Aunt Betty or Mama now. It's you. You're a grown man. And you got to deal with that. You got to deal with it. All right, we're going to go a little further. I don't want to hold this too long today. Mark 11 and 25. Read it, please. And when you stand praying, forgive.
If ye have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive,
neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So one of the now again, if we go back to the beginning of the lesson, what are we talking about? Endeavoring. We're talking about long suffering. We're talking about forbearing. That means putting up with something. We're talking about you're going to have to suffer long. And a lot of times it's because of what other people are doing or what they fail to do. And when you're with a unit, when there's a unit, a congregation like this, or it doesn't matter how big the congregation is, you're going to have some issues that you're going to have to work through. It's going to happen. I was in Dallas for 30 years. Do you think we didn't have any issues that we had to work through? Now, there were things that I had to work with the congregation on. That we're gonna be unified. If it kills us, we're gonna be unified. We're gonna understand, and I believe a lot of this comes by us understanding the Word of God and submitting to the Word of God and being taught these things. And if we're not taught these things, we're not gonna have an understanding of what our job is, what my responsibility is. And so, in other words, what we're gonna have to understand is that God is allowing these things to happen to me, and it's not always the other person's fault. Sometimes it's the way that I'm too sensitive, or I'm not, you know, or maybe I'm not sensitive enough. I didn't understand that what I said or how I said, I'm using myself in general terms here, what I said or how I said, how it affected that person. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said it at another time, and I'm not going to say it now. It's affecting them in the wrong way. I'm not sensitive enough. And now sometimes it's maybe that I'm too sensitive, that I get my feelings hurt so easily. and somebody says something to me, or they didn't do something, or they didn't shake my hand, or they walked by me and their mind was somewhere else, and they just looked through me and all that, I'm too sensitive, and now I don't want to come to church because Brother Daryl didn't speak to me. Have mercy on us, Lord. But these kinds of things happen. And so what do we have to do? You've got to endeavor. You have a sensitivity that God wants to harden up. And then maybe I over here have something that I need to be a little bit more soft on. The Lord allows those kinds of things to happen. He allows it in a family. He allows it in a husband and wife. He allows it with children. He allows it in a home. He allows it in a society. All right? And now, when all these things happen, what do we have to do? That person said that to me, and it hurt my feelings, and now I don't want to come to church anymore. What am I going to have to do? Brother Daryl, I can't hear Brother Daryl preach anymore because he just didn't shake my hand.
Lord, help us.
Or he didn't, or what he said, I know he was preaching at me. I know he knew my situation. You know, I never preach at anybody. I've been preached at before. But I know that sometimes you have to deal with situations, don't you? And you got to do it very delicately. Because I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want you to hurt mine. But if it happens, what do you got to do? What's your job? Forgive me. Forgive me. Because you know what? It's going to hinder you praying. You stand before the Lord, you're going to have to forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You got some issues too that you need the Lord to help you with. Lord, to forgive you for. And if you don't forgive me, the Lord's not going to forgive you. If you don't forgive your fellow brother, the Lord is not going to forgive you. So it hinders you. So when we go back to what we've read here, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm going to do everything I can to keep the unity. Saints, that's important. It's not just important to keep the unity in the congregation, because we can all agree to do something wrong, right? And we can be in unity of that. But this is talking about the unity of the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is not going to be, if I can't get along with you and we're having some issues, do you suppose that I'm going to have the Spirit of the Lord coursing through my ministry? No, it's not going to happen. You know, one of the things in my early ministry, if I had something against somebody, the Lord taught me this. If I had something against somebody and I was dealing with something and I had a little bad feeling, you know, I had to get that feeling taken care of before Sunday. You know why? Because it comes out in your ministering to the people. It comes out and the people can tell that there's something that's not hitting on all cylinders here. Something's not completely right. And I could tell that the Lord wasn't with me. The Lord's going, oh, you're going to do that on your own. I'm going to step back and I need the Spirit of the Lord to minister to the people. It's nothing that I can say. It's nothing, no benefit that I have. Nothing that I say is of any benefit to anybody if it's not from the Spirit of the Lord. As a minister, I can give you a little advice on what I've done with this and what I've done with that in the natural sense of things. But when it comes to the spiritual matters, I don't know what to say. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know how to remedy your spiritual problem, but God does. And my job is to be sensitive enough to the Lord to listen to what God is saying to me so that I can give it to you, whatever it is that the Lord wants me to do. Now, why did the Lord do that? I don't know altogether why the Lord did it, but the Lord used us and utilizes that. Well, why can't I just get it from the Lord? Why don't I have to go to Brother Daryl? Well, you should be able to get it from the Lord, but there are going to be times that the Lord wants you to understand that you need to be, you're not independent. You think you can do everything by yourself and you can get it all by yourself. And there are going to be some time that the Lord withholds things from you. And the only way for you to get it is because you're part of a greater whole. We're a body. And there are things that you can give me that I can't give you, that I can't give myself. We are members one of another. We're connected. Every joint does what? Supplies. It is not just receive, but it supplies. And so there's going to be something that this joint supplies. And there's something that you get when you come to church, right? You get a testimony. You hear somebody testify, and I get something from that. I get something that the Lord gives me an understanding in a way that I hadn't seen it before. Why? And it comes from little sister so-and-so, who never hardly ever says anything, who nobody considers to be some great grand one, but she supplies. And so the Lord's going to get, I'm going to supply to you, and you're going to supply to me. And This is why, as a unit, our body is a unit, and as a unit, what do we want to do? We want to make certain that everything is working together, because when something is not working together, we come down here, and we sit here on the altar, and we ask the Lord to heal us, don't we? Because there's something in the body that's not working. And in the same way, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, we want the body to work together. Pray for me. My desire and determination is to be faithful to the Lord and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Are you adoring the Lord?